Hi, Francesca.
Hi.
My name is June Diane Raphael, she, her, hers, and I am so excited to talk to you. This is a real honor and special moment for me. I'm really thrilled to have this time with you, and I wanted to start our conversation by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land that I am currently on, the Tongva tribe, and their elders past and present.
Thank you so much for doing that. I'm Francesca Ramsey, she, her, hers, and I'm going to follow June's gracious lead by also acknowledging and thanking the custodians of the land that I am currently on here in New York, the lands of the Lenape and the Canarsie. And I'm just excited for us to have a conversation about where we're at in the world right now, physically and emotionally and spiritually. We are all going through it, but Indeed. We're going through it together, which I think is important to acknowledge. And I'm curious to hear how you are faring right now, and if there's anything that's become a part of your process, all quarantined and just trying to be safe, what's helping you get through right now?
Wow, it is, yeah, I think I'm struck by so much, and I'm sad and scared a bit about what's happening and the uncertainty. I feel healthy, and everybody pretty much that I know feels healthy. And so I'm really grateful for that. And I know that I have tons of resources that other people don't have during this time, and I'm aware of that. And even within that, I feel that I'm finding that there are a ton of opportunities for learning and growth. Even sitting with you and connecting and starting off conversations these days with how are you? And it feels like it's so much more weighted than just how are you, but truly, how is your body and mind?
In the past, I feel like people would say, how are you? And I would, even if I wasn't good, no matter what was happening. And now I feel like when people ask me, we both have this inhalation of, whew, well, let me see, how am I actually doing? Let me check in with myself. And I think that that is a good thing, because I think that we should be able to be honest about where we're at. And I think a lot of times people are afraid to admit that they're scared, where they're unsure of where they're at or where they're going. And I think this moment has given a lot more people permission to admit, like, I don't know, I feel scared and my mind is all cloudy and I'm anxious and whatever it is. So for me, I've really been doing a lot of just trying to plan my day. I'm someone who is very type A. I love a calendar. It is my love language. I never thought of myself as that person. That really happened for me later in life. And I do think it's really interesting that social media in many ways has given all of us the ability to dig a little bit deeper and have important conversations with people across all areas of our lives. And especially right now, you know, whether it be having the video hangouts with our friends or getting on FaceTime or being able to text each other. Every time I'm really feeling restless about what's happening in the world, I have to remind myself there was a time where we would not be able to be this connected. Mm-hmm. And even though we are far away from each other physically, mm-hmm. In many ways, we have more ways to talk to each other than ever before. And you know, that's what my book is about, in the sense that there are good things and bad things about that. But I think right now the good part of it is remembering who's important to you and taking the time to check in on them and reconnect, even if it is taking a global pandemic for us to really be appreciative of the people in our lives that are important to us.
So something I've been thinking about, which is related to what you just said, is when, you know, to go back to what we were saying about asking the question of how are you, is the idea that how you are is actually like deeply connected to how I am.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and the idea that living through a pandemic and people being sick or not well directly impacts other people being not well.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because I feel like that's one thing that I think is missing here in American society, in our culture. We are unfortunately oftentimes very individualistic. And I have been disheartened and frustrated at times when I hear people who are not taking the situation seriously because it has not personally impacted them yet. And I think, to your point, we have to move out of this idea of like, that's not my problem. That's somebody else's problem. And I think, you know, with your book, especially taking ownership and saying, look, there are problems in this world that maybe don't affect me, but they are important to me because I want to see everyone live to their greatest potential. I want everyone to live a life that they deserve. You know, I think when we talk about privilege, a lot of people take it personally and they assume that you're saying that they are a bad person or that they are undeserving of the life that they have. And it's, for me, less about trying to make someone feel bad, but trying to help people understand their experiences outside of their worldview that are difficult for people. And I might not have personally contributed to it, but now that I know about those situations, as a hopefully just an empathetic human being, we should want to do something about that. And so, you know, to your point, it's hard. I don't necessarily feel like saying silver linings is appropriate, right? But I will say what I hope happens after this moment passes is that we have shined a light on the overwhelming inequality in this country. And I don't believe that we'll be able to go back to that.
One thing I really appreciated about your book, and it makes me think of the time we're in right now, is you were constantly complicating this idea of social media, the internet is good or bad. Complicating our ideas of you're racist or you're not. Complicating all of these binaries that I think it's so easy to fall back onto. Mm-hmm. When the truth is, of course, all things are possible in one moment. And that what I really took away from it was, yes, it can absolutely bring out the worst in us, as many things can.
Right.
And it can also bring out the best in us, and we can constantly be reflecting rather than deciding whether it's good or bad, but we can constantly be reflecting and investigating what it's bringing up in us and growing from it. And I learned from it, because that's not an easy thing to do. And
thank you.
To really step forward and say, this is something that I did that I wish I hadn't done, and this is what I learned from it.
Yeah, I mean, I just try to use myself as an example. I think that I would be doing myself and my audience a disservice if I tried to give them advice or called for them to be smarter or more thoughtful about the way that they engage with certain topics, if I did not disclose that I have not always been that thoughtful. I have not always been that educated. I have made plenty of mistakes. And I think that that's something that I would love to see more people do.
I've always been sort of fascinated by some of the big gaps in our society and our social fabric and our government and who gets to lead and the sort of luxury to leadership. I've also always really loved women. I've always been disturbed by how underrepresented women are up and down the ballot in our government. And I felt that the 2016 election just sort of crystallized so much of that for me.
Yeah.
And really having I write about it a bit in the book, but I'm a sort of a panic over what I was doing with my life and whether, truth be told, I started thinking about running for office myself, and I realized very quickly there is such an information gap.
Yeah. And,
you know, one thing you just said about sharing your kind of messiness, right? was something I'd heard a lot of women talk about, and I felt myself that I couldn't possibly step up to throw my name in the ring, or I couldn't possibly put my name on any sort of a ballot because I had all these things in my past that I was deeply concerned about.
Yeah.
And I also had my children. I also had all the unpaid labor that I was doing in my own life, taking care of an elderly parent at that point and taking care of very small children. So many of the issues that so many women face, were all sort of compounding as I was just really thinking about this idea. And I realized, like, wow, for so many women, we have this picture in our mind of what a politician should look like, what an elected official should sound like, what race they should be, how much money they should have, what degrees they should have. And I really wanted to reframe that.
You know, to your point about the way that women see the world and see their place in it, I think we often don't realize how much of that we've been programmed to believe, like, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not ready. Whereas men are told they're ready from the start. Like, you don't need any background. You just need access and connections and you are good to go. And so putting into plain English, there is a different way. And people that look like you, people that look like me, people that might not fit into the binary or might come from any variety of marginalized backgrounds deserve to have a voice in our political system is really important. You know, on the topic of books, I'm curious to hear what, if anything, you've been reading during this time, because goodness knows we have the time now.
Okay, so I'm going to say one thing about time and books and shows. So I actually don't have the time now.
Oh, okay.
The reason why I don't have the time now is because I have two small children. I have no childcare. You know, one of the things that I'm really passionate about is acknowledging all of the unpaid labor that women do. I actually think the crisis we're in right now is shining such a light on that.
Yeah.
So, you know, childcare. So many women I know are not able to work right now.
Right.
Not able to. Now, and I also want to talk about the word work because all parents work and all mothers work, regardless of whether you're being paid outside the home or not. The work of taking care of a child is incredibly difficult. And it's difficult for me. I'm having to confront some real fears around my own mothering right now. What I hope for this time we're in right now is that we really start thinking about the unpaid labor that women are doing. Who's doing the work of taking care of our elderly community, of our parents? A lot of times women are taking care also of their in-laws as well as their own parents.
Right.
Those are hours in the day. That's labor. To answer your question, Francesca, I don't have time right now.
Well, you know what? I want to say I really appreciate your honesty because I do think you kind of touched on it a little bit ago, but just to dig into it, the idea of being honest and setting boundaries with people. I've really made an effort with certain friends to say, we can talk about coronavirus for 10 minutes. And then I want to talk about, you know, what you've been binging on Netflix or what you're excited about or one thing you did yesterday that made you feel good, just something that has nothing to do with the doom and gloom and the stress of the world. And so, yeah, if you don't have time to read a book, like, I am here for you. I understand. And again, that's why I'm full disclosure. I don't have kids. Oh, I can get up at whatever time I want. And I can draw in my journal for an hour, which is part of my daily process right now. Cause I think some people are feeling pressure to be super productive and write the great American novel and learn a new language and, you know, bake bagels. I don't know why everyone's making bagels from scratch right now. I am not, but
I wouldn't even know where to begin. I didn't even know you could.
Oh, I am telling you, my whole Facebook is making bagels. Like, I don't know why, but they are.
I'm so glad you brought up Francesca, like the productivity sort of trap and cycle and hamster wheel that I feel like a lot of us get into. And this idea of like, if we are not learning and listening and educating and like we are not doing, then we are nothing.
Mm. You
know, we're not creating, if we're not enriching ourselves, like then we are not worthy. And
not everyone's brain works that way. Like, I will admit, I get really anxiety ridden if I don't have things to do, but my productivity during this time looks very different than what my productivity looks like when we're not in a global pandemic. And I think especially for creatives, I saw a tweet that was saying something about, we are generally very empathetic people, and that's what makes us good at our artwork. And so right now it's really hard to be creative because we're taking on the weight of everything that's happening in the world. If your version of productivity today is that you took a shower and you ate an entire bag of chips for lunch, then you were productive today.
I love that. And I'm having to do a lot of work around that myself because I'm a Capricorn, full disclosure. So like I am very goal oriented. I love a list. I love checking off a list.
Same.
I have always known that doing the work of parenting is much harder for me and than doing my professional paid work outside the home. That feels like a vacation. What I'm called to do in terms of being patient and being a teacher and really the steward of someone's childhood, that work that I am doing all hours of the day right now, I am really sitting with just how valuable that is. And I have nothing to show for it in terms of what I can post or what I can, but I know that this is like, I'm deeply in line with my value system. I don't always feel that way. So I'm definitely grateful for that.
Do you feel pressure to be vulnerable or be accessible on social media? I feel like that's something that I have wrestled with throughout my career, but I also think everybody is in a place where they're like, what do I post?
I don't feel like I'm necessarily, or I don't feel the pressure to be authentic, because to me it's sort of more a performative space, which I enjoy about it. To me, social media, I'm also a little bit older than you though, is mm-hmm. not like the place for me to necessarily share like my authentic intimate self.
Right.
I appreciate what people do. It's just not that platform for me. But do
I get that?
But do you feel that way? I mean, I imagine you have a totally different experience having come up and having started
your career
there.
I have very much a love-hate relationship with social media. It has brought so many amazing people and experiences into my life. I mean, I probably wouldn't be talking to you if I hadn't written a book and my book came out of my social media presence. But accessibility, oftentimes it gives this false sense of intimacy. And so I often deal with people saying things to me or about me that I think they would never say if they actually knew me or if we were face to face. And that can be really difficult at times. I'm really at a place right now where I am trying to find a balance where I can stay engaged and connect with my audience, but also stay authentic and focused on what I'm doing. In my offline life, I'm trying to use my social platform to inspire people and encourage them and make them laugh and make them think rather than trying to chase virality or chase popularity or chase authenticity.
I loved reading your book for so many reasons, but that was one of my big takeaways of like, mm-hmm. just stop. Listen, we're in a moment right now of stop. Mm-hmm. Of stop, sit, pause, and there will be devastating consequences to that, of course, but also I think real opportunities. But that was one of the key takeaways from your journey and you sharing that and letting us sort of like get messy with you through your journey with social media, because it really made me think about, and I'm not even on it that much, but what am I adding?
Yeah.
And also, what is my intention here?
I'm curious to hear what it is that you're looking forward to when we get a chance to emerge from our homes.
Yeah. Yes. So I agree. I don't know that we're going back to the before times. I think we're going into a new time. I am excited to vote in November and in whatever way I can. So that's number one. And beyond that, I'm really excited for my children to interact with other children and go on slides at playgrounds. I'm looking forward to just having more kind of access for them.
I didn't realize how much I miss hugs from my friends.
Oh my God.
And I'm just like, I'm gonna hug the shit out of all of you. There's really nothing that compares to actually spending physical time with people. And that's something I'm really looking forward to.
Me too. Well, thank you so much for having this conversation with me, Francesca. I loved getting to know you.
Oh, thank you so much. This was so wonderful. I almost forgot that we weren't actually in the same space.
I know. It's wild. It's really, it is wild.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.